right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. This is your Week 10 edition as we get ready to start the second half of the season. And I'm going to try real hard today not to get too, like, heavy. I don't want to be a downer. You know, I always think of this show, which is usually a Thursday show. The past couple of weeks, we've started a little bit late because I've had some stuff going on, so we're doing Friday releases, which I kind of like because I always think of this show as the gateway to the weekend. Like, when the free stretch drops on JoeBucksFan.com, weekend starting. And I don't like to bring everybody down going into the weekend because I love weekends. I've always been a weekend guy. Everybody's a weekend guy. I mean, come on. But, man, I'm just bummed out about the state of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it all kind of hit me on Sunday watching the game against Carolina. And the reason is because in the middle of that game, I stopped caring about outcomes. And it seems like an annual ritual lately. About what point in the season do you stop caring about the outcomes of games? It used to be never. Like, I remember always caring. But now it's when do you make that focus from immediate future to big picture? And so for me, we've crossed over, and I'm bummed about it. So anyway, we'll talk about all these things on here on the show today. The free stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, and I want to tell you, they are Tampa's first family of Ford. I'm sitting right now in a Ford Explorer doing this show, in fact. And Bill Curry Ford is proud to announce a nationwide lifetime warranty. This is on new and pre-owned vehicles, okay, so all of them. And that includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, plus a 10-year roadside assistance program. And you get 1-year complimentary service. You just bring it back in. They take care of it. See all the details at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, you spell Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or you can go down and see Sean Sullivan in person. He's the new general manager at Bill Curry Ford. They are just about a mile north, give or take, a mile north of the stadium right there on Dale Mabry. And if you go there, you'll receive a Joe Bucks Fan discount. So you just say, hey, Joe Bucks Fan, I heard about this on Joe Bucks Fan. The free stretch, Bobby Fenton, what, any of those things, they'll work with you. And again, you get the discount on top of the already transparent online pricing and the new lifetime warranty. So if you want to go browse before you even go down there, just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, and check it out that way. You'll know what you're looking at once you get there. Bill Curry Ford has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years. That predates me, and I'm a Tampa native lifelong. That predates the Bucks, the team we're talking about. Predates it all. And again, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Start shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. So, from the comfort of the driver's seat of my Bill Curry Ford Ford Explorer, I want to tell you this. Like I said, the reason I'm so bummed out, this is like an annual rite of passage now as a Bucks fan when I get into this existential crisis where I start thinking about the big picture, life in general as a Bucks fan. What does it all mean? Why do we do it? Where do we go from here? I beat myself up over this stuff. It's dumb. It's just a football team. And I got things going on in my life, we all do. But growing up through the years, and I've talked about this countless times. So what I'm saying is, you know, this time, it's week 9 when we played the Panthers. But in other years, it's been week 3, 4, 5. Sometimes it's been 11, 12, 13 some weekend. But I've talked about countless times on this show how I grew up as a Bucks fan all through the 80s and 90s. And the Bucks were not good. And so, you know, back then I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. Every game seemed like the fate of the world rode on it. Even if the Bucks were 2-12, a little 7-8-year-old, 10-year-old me didn't care. I just watched the Bucks game every Sunday. And it didn't go any further than that for me. And I miss that feeling. Because now it seems like every year we start the season with high hopes. Some more than others, of course, but we start with high hopes. And then there comes a point in the year when all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I was dumb to believe this was going to be any different. This whole thing seems futile. And then that sense of hopelessness washes over. And it was hitting me during the Carolina game the other day. I'm watching. And you're always thinking, okay, yeah, we suck, but hey, we're going to turn this around because we're going to get better. We're going to do this and that on defense. We're going to do this and that with the offense. Whatever it is, you're, even when you're bad, you're like, okay, well, here's what we need to do for us to take the next step. And then you realize, it hits me, there's 32 teams in the league. Everybody says the same thing. It's not just us. You get into the trap of thinking, oh, it's just us. We're the ones who are right on the cusp of greatness. We're the ones who just need to make a couple moves, and we're right there because we've been building and we've been planning for this, right? Right? And you realize, no, you're no different than anybody else. There's 32 teams who all want the same thing, and even if you do well, even if you actually are on track, even if your plan is actually working to some degree, that might be enough to get you to the playoffs. But it ain't like you're, you know, I always feel like we're just a year or two away from contending. We're going to be that team. We're going to go 11-5, 12-4. We're going to the bowl soon. And we're not, you know, we're not, guys, okay? And I'm not saying it's never going to happen. Of course it will, but we are years away. I kept telling myself, oh, we're right there. Before the season, I thought, okay, big step forward. Jameis Winston this year, he's going to come into his own year four, take charge. The offense is ready to flourish, which it kind of has to a degree under both him and Fitzpatrick at varying points of the year. The defense is an atrocity beyond what I could have possibly imagined. And it already was before, but it still is and it still will be. And it's just another season. It's just another season where we're not going to play any big games. You know, the fun part about football is every game feels like it's a big game. Certainly in college, it's like that. And in the NFL, too, you don't play 100 and some odd games. You don't play 80 some odd games. You play 16. They're all big. They all feel like playoff games in a way. But we are not yet, or we just crossed over halfway through the season. And I'm already, well... All right, I'm going to watch the last day. I mean, I don't miss a Bucs game. I'll watch them all, like I told you before. I don't think in my entire life I've ever not been in contact with a Bucs game that was going on. I was either there in person. I was either watching it on TV. During the blackout days, I'd have it on the radio. In modern times with smartphones now, I've been in some wild-ass locales, and I've pulled up the Reddit site, NFL Streams, where you can stream any NFL game. And I've watched games on my phone. I remember cruising, and I was out in Northern California a couple years ago during a Bucs game, and I was worried about how I was going to pull it off. And we were driving in the car. It was like 10 in the morning there, 1 o'clock here. And I had the game app on my phone listening to Gene Deckerhoff driving in a rental car out there in, you know, Monterey. Doesn't matter what the hell I'm doing or where the hell I am, I'm going to watch the Bucs game. But I'm not going to watch them with as much interest, and certainly that sense of urgency that you get as a fan when you wake up the morning of the game, say, all right, there's a Bucs game today. That's gone for 2018. And I just miss it. I just miss the intensity. Because this is not a playoff team. And listen, I know what the schedule looks like. They got Washington this weekend. They got the Giants. They got San Francisco. Conceivably, and I'm not saying they'll do this because I could see them blowing a couple of those games too, but conceivably, they could win those three and they'll be 6-5, and I'll tell you what'll happen if that happens. We'll all get, hey, look at the wild card. Okay, we're a game back of this. We need this and that. I know what'll happen. We'll do all that. They'll come up short, guys. They will come up short. Because even if they win the next three against bad teams, those are bad teams. And they would be 6-5 if that happened. And everything would like right back in there. Oh, yeah, man. And hey, I hope the Bucs are thinking that, because I don't want them to have the same attitude I have. Heaven knows I don't want that. So I hope they're thinking, hey, let's win these three games. We got three winnable ones against teams that are also struggling. Let's beat them and see where we're at if we can get to 6-5. That should be their attitude. I know it is for Dirk Cutter and Jason Light and everybody else who's, you know, coaching for their job. For the players, I hope so. But for me, it's not, because I know what'll happen. Because they don't have to just go 6-5. They got to go 10-6. You know, they have to win all but one left. And you know damn well that ain't what this team has. So again, I'm not trying to be a downer today, but this is, every week I get ready to do my show. I'm like, what am I going to talk about on the show today? How am I going to do this? And this week, as the week unfolded, I just kept thinking more and more about the sense of hopelessness. I just, you know, like, there's nothing worse as a fan than this feeling that, oh, does any of this matter? But that's where I'm at right now. And I just dropped my daughter off at preschool a little while ago. And one of the guys out front that keeps an eye on things, a good friend of mine, Sal. And we always talk. He's a Bucks fan. And we always talk every morning. Like, I'll drop my daughter off at preschool and I'll walk out and be like, hey, what do you think of the Bucks? You know, we'll talk about James. We'll talk about the team. Like, he's into it. He's like me. And we always say, hey, go Bucks. So today's, you know, I'm doing this on Friday morning when I'm recording this show. And I'm not picking my daughter up later, somebody else is, so I'm not going to see Sal until Monday. So on the way out, I said, all right, hey, man, I'll see you later. Go Bucks. And he's like, yeah, go Bucks. I'm like, you know, maybe they can pull it off. And then I'm like, you know what? I stopped myself. I said, you know what, Sal? Honestly, I don't think it matters. And he's like, yeah, I don't either. And I was like, wow, well, this sucks. It does. It sucks. Now, the Bucks are at home. It's fun. I'm probably going to go to the game. That'll be fun. My kids love it. See, my kids are where I was when I was a kid. They don't understand the standings yet. They don't care about that. So I got to not let my jadedness, if that's a word, rub off on them. Because, again, I remember, I've told the story before, and this is when I was even older than my kids are now, but I remember 1996, which the Bucks weren't good then, but they actually did have hope then, unlike now. Like, we could tell they were burgeoning. It was Tony Dungy's first year. And I remember they got off to like an 0-5 start, then they beat the Vikings. They got Dungy's first win at home over the Vikings. I was there for that. I went to every game when I was in high school, like everyone. And then they go and lose a couple more, and I think they were 1-8, and the Raiders came to town. And me and my buddy Drew went to the game as little 16-year-old punks. I was a season ticket holder at age 16. The reason was, I had a driver's license for the first time. I said, hey, me and Drew were like, we can just go to the game anytime we want now. We both had driver's licenses. We both had old beat-up cars that our parents had passed down to us. We're like, we don't need to, like, have someone say, hey, do you want to go to the game? We can just do it. We both used money from our summer jobs, bought $200 season tickets, $20 a game, 10 games. I remember getting the little booklet in my hands for the first time. It felt so awesome. So we were all in. Like, we were all in. And the Bucks were 1-8, and we didn't care. We were so happy just to be going to the game. You know, when you're 16, you do something on your own, you feel like independent, you know. You're like, oh man, this is awesome. It's just us, you know. So we go to the game, and if you remember, I'm sure most of you don't, but some of you might, the Bucks and Raiders played a pretty tight game. Raiders came down at the end. The game was tied 17-17. Raiders drove it down to, like, literally the 2-yard line of the Bucks. And kind of like took a knee and called timeout with 1 second left. They're going to try basically an extra point distance field goal. And I mean the old extra point distance to win the game. Kicker named Cole Ford, who went on to go crazy and fire off shots with a rifle, I think, at Siegfried and Roy's house in Las Vegas. That's true. You can look it up. Cole Ford missed the field goal from like literally 18 yards, something like that, like a 19-yard field goal. It's the shortest kick I've ever seen missed. Obviously, extra point distance, but he was even, I think they were on the one. I think he was even closer than that. He misses it. We went bananas. Like, we ran up and down. I remember running up and down the aisle, high-fiving people, like, hugging people. It was like the Bucks won the Super Bowl. So it goes to overtime. Michael Husted did win it in overtime for the Bucks. They won 20-17. And it was, like, one of my all-time favorite Bucks games that I've ever attended. And that win moved the Bucks to 2-8, okay? But 16-year-old me didn't care. I was just so happy, and it was just such unadulterated, such untainted, such pure love for my football team, and nothing else mattered, and I can't tell you how much I missed that. Like, you get to be an adult, you look back on your childhood, and you miss a lot of things about your childhood, but we don't talk about the things we don't miss, because being an adult's pretty cool, too. There's a lot of things about childhood that I look back on so fondly, but others that I'm like, hey, you know, I like it better now, being an adult. Okay, but that's one of the things where I look back on my childhood. I just wasn't as jaded, man. It was all so pure to me. I was just happy to be there. And now if the Bucks were 2-8 and won a game like that, I'd probably make fun of both teams about how bad they are and about how pathetic this whole thing is. And why are we, this is so dumb. Why are we even watching? You know, that's what I'd be like now. I kind of miss the old 16-year-old me. But anyway, all these thoughts are rushing through my head as I'm watching this Bucks-Carolina game on Sunday. And same old story. You know, Fitzpatrick goes in there, and he had four touchdowns. I mean, to his credit, we kind of overlooked them now because the premium on points is high, but every team gets them now. Like, points aren't as hard to come by as they used to be. So, Fitz threw four touchdowns, whatever. I mean, if a Bucs quarterback threw four touchdowns at any point in the 90s, we would have stopped the season and had a parade down Bayshore Boulevard, up over the Brewing Street Bridge, up Ashley Street. You know, if a Bucs QB threw four TDs in a game, oh my God. And now it's like, yeah, whatever, Fitz had four TDs. We lost by two touchdowns. That's the new NFL. It's the track meet. It's like basketball almost. I mean, there's points all over the place. But he did have four touchdown passes. He also had a bad pick. And there's another thing that I hate, because I've been preaching on this show, hey, just love the Bucs, okay? Don't make it about Jameis versus Fitzpatrick, because it's not Jameis versus Fitzpatrick. It's about the Bucs. You don't have to back one guy or the other. But I've been saying over and over and over about how Jameis, I still believe, can be the guy. I still think he's a top 10 NFL quarterback. I think you can separate the turnovers from the rest of the things he's so good at, cull that part of his game out, and you'll have a really good product. Others say, no, he is what he is. It'll never change. Point is, I've been saying this over and over, and I want it to be true. You know, we all want to be right. And yet I love Fitz too, but when Fitz threw the pick, and I hate myself for this, when Fitz threw the pick, I was like, see, Fitz does it too. Wasn't rooting against Fitzpatrick, but in some small way, I took satisfaction in something bad happening, and I hate that. I hate that. Okay? I felt that way on Sunday for that brief second, and I spent the rest of Sunday's game, watching the game, just self-loathing as a Bucs fan. And, you know, I don't think Jameis, I told you this last week, Jameis is not done. Everybody went way overboard with the speculation after the Cincinnati game. He threw the four picks, and it was a terrible game, admittedly, but it was one game. And everyone's like, oh, was that pick six Jameis' last pass as a Buck? Was his first pass to Cody Sensabaugh and his last pass to the Bengals both pick sixes? You know, calm down. He'll start games again this season. I actually thought he should have started against Carolina. And I still think if you're the Bucs and you're really trying to figure out what we need to do going forward, there's no reason for anybody but Jameis to be starting. But again, Dirk Cutter and Jason Light are thinking of it in terms of survive right now. And that's certainly their prerogative, and I don't fault them for that, to be honest with you. But the rest of us, we have the luxury of looking at the big picture, and let me ask you a question right now. Oh, I haven't given out my email address yet. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. BobbyGameDay, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, I'm @BobbyGameDay. Let me ask you something right now. I don't know what's going to happen over the final eight games. If the Bucs go 5-3 over those final eight games, which is ambitious, but if they did that, they'd be 8-8. They would have to go probably 7-1, maybe 6-2 to have a chance at anything. And I think that's incredibly unlikely. But anyway, do you guys see any avenue besides this aforementioned possibility of the Bucs winning 7-8? Do you see any avenue where we don't blow this whole thing up, really? Because I'm not advocating for the firing of Dirk Cutter or Jason Light or anybody else. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not one of those radio or podcast people that always wants to go out there and call for someone's job. But do you guys actually see a path where we're not starting over? And should you see a path where we're not starting over? Is an even bigger question. Because at this point, I'm thinking about the health of the franchise long term. And when I said earlier, oh, it doesn't matter if they win or lose, some people might have said, oh, well, if you're a true Bucs fan, you always want the Bucs to win. Yes and no. If you're a true Bucs fan, you always want what's best for the franchise. Now, obviously, that almost certainly always means winning, but not quite always. And I'm not talking about the draft picks right now. I'm just talking about in general. I don't know if I care too much going forward about individual game results. Oh, they won this weekend. All right, they lost. I'm going to root for them to win, but this has to be a comprehensive plan to do something that, like I said at the top of the show, 30 two teams are all trying to do, and you have to figure out a way to do it better than the 31 other ones to win a Super Bowl. And I'm not even talking about the Super Bowl right now. I'm just talking about getting back to being a perennial contender, because like I've told you, in my opinion, the best way to win a Super Bowl isn't to say, okay, we're shooting for the Super Bowl. The best way to win a Super Bowl is to just be good for years and, you know, consecutive years. Don't just, like, take your shot. Set up a winning organization. When the Bucs won the Super Bowl in 2002, it was because they were good from 1997 through 2002. They were in the playoffs every single year except for 1998 when they were 8-8. And even though they had bad first-round losses and things like that, I remember going up to the Eagles twice and getting beat in playoff games. Even despite that, they were there. They were good. They weren't that far off. And eventually they broke through. I mean, the playoffs are more of a crapshoot than people want to realize. People act like this stuff is, like, less random than it is. But, you know, you can lose a playoff game in the first round. You're, oh, we're not where we need to be. And maybe two or three plays different in that game, you win that game and you go on to win a Super Bowl. I remember the Giants winning the Super Bowl against the Patriots in 2007, the undefeated Patriots, if you remember, right? And that Giants team, if you remember, came through Raymond James Stadium in round one in the wild card round to do it. And if you remember that game, the Bucs kicked the Giants' ass up one side and down the other all throughout the first half. And I'm thinking, all right, hey, we're going to win this playoff game at home as the favorite. Things changed in the second half. The Giants won the game, went on to win the Super Bowl. And the point I'm trying to make is, like, that game could have gone either way. I think the final score was 24-10, maybe. But the Bucs, I mean, trust me, the Bucs dominated the first half, if you don't remember. So anyway, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the lines are that fine, okay? So if you're just good enough to be in the playoffs in any given year, and I'm not saying you're going to take down the Patriots or something like that in their current state as a 9-7 wild card team, but just be a good organization, be a good franchise, and it will happen. It may not happen right away, but it will happen. But right now, we're not even that. Like, we have to get that in order first. And I feel like it starts with a big round of changes. I can't see any way it doesn't. And that's nothing against Dirk Cutter, who I like. Nothing against Jason Light. I mean, I don't agree with everything they've done and we've done on this show and, you know, all the other shows on JoeBucksFan.com criticize this or approved of that. My point is, though, I don't dislike those people as people, but the franchise, and I was foolish not to see it even sooner than I did, but I think we can all see it now. The franchise is nowhere near where it needs to be, and it needs to be handled without a sense of urgency, if that makes any sense. We don't need to treat this team like we've got to amp this up and take our shot soon. We need to treat this like a big picture project. And, you know, it starts, like everything else, with the people up top. They have not shown an ability to put together the type of franchise using the type of people you need to make the type of franchise that emulates someone like the Steelers or the Packers or the Patriots or teams like that who are just, again, not always. Hey, the Packers have their ups and downs. They're struggling a little bit this year, although they're still there. Steelers are getting better all the time now, but they had a rough start to the year. Patriots are the Patriots. Point is, those are the franchises that are always just, hey, you can rely on them year in, year out to be there. Others come and go. But to be one of those teams, it's not going to happen in 2019 or 2020 or 2021. I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs or anything like that, but I'm saying at this point now, and I've been waiting this long in my life, I waited for the Super Bowl, it happened. Now it's been 16 years since that last playoff win. I can wait a couple years more, but I would like to see a total overhaul of everything. And not one that's designed to go and be working in just 1 year, you know, long term. And I try and find a coach. You know, I've done it too. This is when it always, you know, you hate to have this happen, but when's the first time you open that new tab on Google and just Google 2019 head coaching candidates, because I've done that, all right? And we all, you know, we all got Bruce Arians. I'm intrigued by Bruce Arians. But he's a little older. Is he a long-haul guy? You know, we've got plenty of shows coming up down the line that we can get on the whole who's the next head coach of the Bucks going to be thing. I'm not trying to do candidates right now. I'm talking about philosophically where we are as an organization and where you are as a fan versus where you need to be. Readjust your attitude. I readjusted mine this week. Going into the Carolina game, I was holding out. 3-4, let's see. If they go on the road, get a division win against Carolina, look competent, maybe we got something. Then I see Christian McCaffrey on that reverse. Was it McCaffrey? I think it was. And I see 11 Buccaneers on defense, who all should be absolutely embarrassed. McCaffrey, it's like when I used to be on the playground. You know how there's that kid. I wasn't that kid, but sometimes you'd get into a groove on the playground where you just could do no wrong. You'd run backwards just because you could, because you knew you'd be able to get back in there. I'd run in circles, figure eights, do this and that, because nobody's going to catch me. These chumps have no chance. That's how McCaffrey was acting against the Bucs defense on that run, that reverse. Yeah, I'm going to run sideways for a little while. Oh, I'll just go backwards for 5 yards, get around this guy. Guy's barely putting forth the effort. It was embarrassing. Like, it really was. And that right then and there was when I said, you know what? To hell with this. There may be a handful of guys on this roster who are still going to be around when this team returns to respectability. You know, some of the younger guys, but even a lot of them. I mean, a handful. I'm not going to name, like, who I think is and isn't. I hope Jameis Winston's one, because if he's not, that's a whole other thing we're going to have to deal with. But other than that, between the coaching staff, between the GM, between the players themselves, again, you can probably count on one, maybe two hands the number of people that I believe will help this team, will contribute to this team the next time that it's successful. And that sucks to say out loud. It sucks to hear. But it's probably true. Do you disagree? Do you think, oh, no, Bobby, we just need to shore up a couple things in the upcoming draft? And I don't feel that way. And it's tough when you're an owner because you're running a business, and you can't tell fans this. I can. You come to Joe Bucks Fan for honesty on these podcasts, and you get it from the commish. You get it from Ira Kaufman. You get it from the Joes. You get it from Derek Brooks. This website is awesome. Joe Bucks Fan has the entire thing covered. And you get all these voices. I'm the last one. All these other people. The amount of respect I have for all the guys that I get to call my company, that I share a masthead with, when you click on the little podcast link at Joe Bucks Fan, and there's Ira up there, and there's Justin and the Joes, and I mean Derek Brooks. And I see the free stretch up there, that little logo, you know, with the guy stretching. I'm honored, man. So you come here because those people will tell you this. The Glazers can't say it. The GM and the coach can't say it. They're going to try and probably raise season ticket prices again. If not next year, then in the next couple years, they're always trying to do that. They can't say, oh, by the way, we have a five-year plan, because what about those first 4 years? No one wants to hear that crap. But it's true, and I wouldn't fault them if that's what they did. What else can you do right now? If you're the Bucks and you're trying to get it right, really, truly get it right, you have to act like this is a long-term thing. So with all that said, I mean, look, we got many more shows coming up, both the rest of this season and the offseason leading up to the draft. We got plenty of time, okay? But we got 8 games left right now. The Bucks are going to play the Redskins on Sunday at 1. When they do, I will be watching. And I will be excited, and I will be rooting for the Bucks. And I really do think, I mean, I think they're going to win the game Sunday. The Redskins are not that great. And I think they're going in the wrong direction. And if the Bucks win that one, they've got two more teams who are, you know, what do they got, a win apiece? The Giants and San Francisco? Right now, I mean, the Bucks could very easily be 6-5. If that happens, though, I would caution you to forget everything I'm saying, because everything I'm saying is true whether they win the next 3 games or not. We'll let it play out. We'll let it play out. One thing I've learned, both with the Bucks, with sports in general, with politics and these elections, you see what's happened with the election. Never assume and never act like you know what's going to happen, even in the next month, much less the next year. So I don't know. But I really do think we're in a position now where it's going to be a while. And it probably needs to be a while, and that's okay. So email me if you want to. Like I said, I always love hearing your thoughts. If you think I'm completely full of it and have no idea what I'm talking about, that's fine. If you share, and I don't even want to call it hopelessness, because I'm a positive person. I call it hopefulness. I have hopefulness that we figured it out. You know, sometimes in life, I can tell you this from a personal experience perspective, and a lot of you probably can too. When you realize you're not what you thought you were, and maybe you're not what you ever hoped you were going to be, yeah, it's a bad feeling at first, but then it's kind of refreshing because then you can reset, you can readjust, and you say, okay, let's be real. What do I need to do to get my life back on the right track? You know, and it could be varying levels. It could be personally, it could be professionally, you know, anything. But when that realization hits you, sometimes it's kind of cathartic, even though at first it hurts. You know, sometimes you're like, oh man, this sucks. But then you're like, okay, you wake up that next day. Let's lay out the plan now. Maybe that's where we are as Bucks fans. But that's where I got to after watching the Carolina game. So thank you guys for listening, and thank you guys for allowing my existential crisis to play out. Again, it lately has been an annual rite of passage, happens every year. This year it was the week 9, number 8 game of the season at Carolina. Let the record show, that's when Bobby crossed over and no longer started thinking about 2018, started thinking about it. It probably was too late. I probably should have done it a few weeks ago. Remember, if you listen to this show every week, remember back at the beginning of the season when I told you my wife booked us on a cruise for Wild Card Weekend and I was worried? Because even though I know you can watch games on TV on cruises, I said, that's fine, but what if the Bucks are at home? What if they win the South? I said, I don't know if I can go through with it. I've never missed a Bucks home playoff game. I never would. I might have to tell my wife I'm not going on the cruise. And I made a big deal about it on the show. That was cute, wasn't it? I think I'm okay for the cruise now. I'll watch the games on the TVs on the cruise, but I don't think Raymond James Stadium, the weekend of January 5th or whatever it is going to be real busy. I think after the Outback Bowl, they can probably let the field take a break and start getting ready for Monster Jam. But anyway, my point is, I appreciate all you guys coming in here. The theme of this show today sounds like it was negative, but it wasn't. It's a positive theme, okay? It's just not what we want to hear right now. But maybe we can bookmark this one show and look back on it a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, and maybe it'll sound prescient. I hope it does. Because I think we're going to get there. But I also think the current trajectory is not the one we're going to get there on. Thank you to the Joes for hosting this show on their website. It is an honor and a privilege both to keep the company of them and all the names I told you, Ira, Justin, Derek Brooks, everybody else. And it's an honor to be in front of all of you. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Check out the website, BillCurryFord.com, or go down there in person a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Hey, Dunedin Pirates, if you want to play football, real football, you, yes, can play football right now. Go to DunedinPirates.com. Check them out. Practices are on Tuesday and Thursday nights. There's a preseason game in December. Regular season starts in January. If you want to suit up, I'm getting ready to start heading out there. I'm finishing some things up coaching Little League, and I'm getting ready to go play my third year as a, you know, whatever they need. Special teams, maven, and free safety. But thanks to them, enjoy the game Sunday. Have fun with it. I know we're at the point now where, because I always say before I close out each show, hey, use this as an excuse to get together with buddies. Call your friends up, say, hey, let's watch the game. Big game today. Well, if I called my buddies and tried to get them together for this one on Sunday, they'd probably kind of look at me sideways like, really? But it shouldn't matter, okay? Who cares what they're playing for? It's fun to watch games with other guys or girls. The fellowship is the point of all this. Have some fun with it if you can. But whether you do that or not, be safe, enjoy the weekend, And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.